The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 13, Text Number 60, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 3rd, 2012, in Timișoara, Romania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Iti
uktva
ata
arahat
svargam narada saha tumburu yudhishthira vacha tasya hridi kritva ajahat shucha It yuktva taruhat svargam.
It yuktva taruhat svargam.
Narada sahatum guru.
Narada sahatum guru.
Yudhishthira vachastasya.
Yudhishthira vachastasya.
Hridi kritva jahachucha. It yuktva taruhat svargam. Narada sahatum guru.
Narada sahatum guru.
Yudhishthira vachastasya.
Yudhishthira vachastasya.
Hridi kritva jahachucha.
Hridi kritva jahachucha.
Iti. Thus.
Yes.
Uktva, having addressed,
Atta,
thereafter, Aruhat, ascended, Svargam, into outer space, Narada, the great sage Narada, Saha, along with Tumburu, his stringed instrument, Yudhishthira, Maharaj Yudhishthira, Vacha, instructions, Tasya, of his, Tridikritva, keeping in the heart, Ajahat, gave up, Sucha, all lamentations. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Having spoken thus, the great sage Narada, along with his Veena, ascended into outer space. Yudhishthira kept his instructions in his heart and so was able to get rid of all lamentations. Purport. Sri Narada Ji is an eternal spaceman. Having been endowed with a spiritual body by the grace of the Lord, he can travel in the outer spaces of both the material and spiritual worlds without restriction, and can approach any planet in unlimited space within no time. We have already discussed his previous life as the son of a maidservant. Because of his association with pure devotees, he was elevated to the position of an eternal spaceman and thus had freedom of movement. One should therefore try to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and not make a futile effort to reach other planets by mechanical means. Maharaj Yudhishthira was a pious king, and therefore he could see Narada Muni occasionally. Anyone who desires to see Narada Muni must first be pious and follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Jacharashtra Quits Home. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jatapada Kamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragadatam Dutam Sajivam, Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitam Shcha. Well, this is quite an interesting tip from Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Anyone who desires to see Narada Muni. So, from this sentence, it's quite clear that it's okay. If you want to see Narada Muni, there's no problem with that desire. It's not a material desire. That's a very nice point. Prabhupada is saying, okay, if you want to see Narada Muni, then here's what you do. There's nothing wrong. If you would like to meet Narada Muni face to face, you can do that. Nothing wrong with desiring for that, you see. And here's how you do it. You must be pious and follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni, you see. You must become a pakka follower, you see. Well, how can I be? He's not my guru. Wait a minute, he is our guru. He's in our parampara. He is our spiritual master. Every acharya in the whole line of succession, and even those who aren't in this particular line, any bona fide pure devotee of the Lord is our spiritual master. So Narada Muni is our spiritual master. That's a fact. He's our siksha guru. And if you'd like to have darshan with Narada Muni, you can do that. If you qualify yourself, if you want to have his darshan, there's no problem with that. You see. So you just have to follow in his footsteps. See, how can I follow his footsteps? I can't even see where his feet are walking. He's flying through outer space. How can I follow his footsteps unless I fly after him, you know? But that following the footsteps also means, in a more higher sense, to follow the instructions, you see. In other words, to follow his pathway. What is the Narada Marg, you see? The Narada Marg is the pathway of pure devotional service. So if you will take the pathway of pure devotional service, then you are indeed following in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. And if you continue following that pathway, the day will come when you will see Narada Muni. That will happen. You see. You will see Narada Muni. This is a very nice point. So you have that desire, go for it. You want to see him, then go for it. Qualify yourself. Follow the pathway of Narada Muni, the pathway of pure bhakti, and that day will come and you will see Narada Muni face to face. And Krishna also. That's one nice point. And there's actually any verse, we could write volumes and volumes of books. There's unlimited enlightening points in every single verse and purport. Another point is, there was some lamentation, you see, in the heart of Yudhisthira. But by taking the instructions he had received from Sri Narada Muni into his heart, Narada became free of all, Yudhisthira became free of all lamentations. So that's an amazing point. I mean, do any of you have a problem? Do any of us have a problem with lamentations? Yes? Yes? I think we all have that problem. We all have our lamentations. It's said here, shuchaha, the last word. It's Sandhi, it's changed to chuchaha, but the word for word is suchaha with an S. You know why it's an S, it's a C instead of an S here? And you know why? That's one of the rules in Sanskrit. Because there's a C, because actually there's the word Bharat is ajahat. When a T comes against an S, then they turn into two C's. I don't know if you have this principle in Romanian language. You probably do. In English, we have it. Just like we say, you know, a cat, a dog. And then we say, an apple? No. We say, an apple. We put an N in there. Because it's more pronounceable. It flows on the tongue. apple is awkward to say, you see. A cat, it flows. A dog, it flows. But an apple, it doesn't flow. So to put the flow in there, an N is stuck in the middle, an apple, and then it flows, you see. So to say, when you have ajahat coming against suchaha, ajahat suchaha, it becomes ahat chucha. It flows. So this is a principle in Sanskrit language called santi. So you have this flowing. So the actual word is suchaha, instead of chuchaha, as you see here. When it's in the combined form, it's chuchaha, but the individual word is actually suchaha, lamentation. So we're all suffering from this suchaha, lamentation. We're lamenting about, oh, you know, so many things. Unfortunately, our lamentations are material about our sense gratification. I wanted gross and subtle. I wanted to be honored in this way, and they didn't honor me. I wanted this facility, I didn't get it, you see. I wanted to be young and beautiful, but I got old and ugly, you see. You know, so many lamentations. So the beauty of this verse is enlightening us how to get rid of all these lamentations. Just completely wipe them out. I mean, it's wonderful. In other words, this mantra, this verse, is a lamentation obliterator. Is it? If you understand how to apply this verse in the proper understanding, it will obliterate, it will absolutely wipe out all of your lamentation. So this is a very, very worthwhile verse to study in great depth and in intensity. How does it do that? How does one wipe out those lamentations? By remembering the instructions of Narada Muni. You see? And that not only applies to the instructions of Narada Muni, but those who are in disciplic succession from Narada Muni. If you remember their instructions, also it will wipe out all lamentation. So why does it work that way? You see? Why is it that we can say that not only Narada Muni's instructions, but any spiritual master in succession from him, also his instructions will wipe out one's lamentation? Why do we say that? How can we say that? Because every acharya is doing nothing but purely transmitting what has been received from the previous acharyas going back to Narada Muni. You see? Every single acharya in the line after Narada Muni is actually purely transmitting the teachings of Narada Muni. That's the meaning of being a spiritual master. You can't concoct your own philosophy, you see, like the Mayavadis do, you see. You can't do that. You're not a guru, you're a guru. You're a bull. You see, you're full of bull. If you concoct your own philosophy, you're not guru, you're guru, or bull, full of bull. You see. So, to actually be guru, you have to be a transparent via medium. You have to be just a messenger, that's all. Just like you have that international delivery company, DHL. I think you have their branch here in Romania, DHL, you see. If you're an employee of DHL, what is your duty? Whatever package comes in, you deliver it to the person, that's all. You don't open it up, you know, put something in it or take something out of it. If you do, you'll be fired immediately. You might even receive criminal prosecution if you do such a thing. You understand? So bona fide spiritual master, you see, he is a loyal, dedicated DHL man. That's all he is. Whatever he's received, whatever parcel of knowledge he has received from his spiritual master, he delivers it to the person to whom it's supposed to go, which is ourselves, you see. The guru's duty is to enlighten us. He's enlightened the whole world. You see, Prabhupada came as the bona fide spiritual master to simply deliver the parcel of the knowledge he had received from Bhakti Sanatana Sarasvati Thakura to all of us. We are the addressees on the parcel. You see? all the addressees on the parcel, all the jiva souls throughout this entire material existence. That's who it's addressed to. The parcel of Vedic knowledge, and who is it addressed to? To all the conditioned souls who are caught up here in the cycle of birth and death, you see. The parcel of transcendental knowledge has been passed down, you see. Just even nowadays, we see, it's like the popular courier service in the U.S. is FedEx. And they do some international, not as much as DHL. But when I get a FedEx delivery, you know, the sender will give me a tracking number, and I can go on the internet, I can see, well, today the parcel was delivered to the FedEx office in Memphis, and now it's been delivered to the, it flew overnight to the FedEx office in Austin, and today now it's out on the truck, you see. So it's gone from one representative of FedEx to another representative. I can even trace it out on the internet, the whole history of where that parcel has come and where it point. So in the same way, we can trace out, we have a list in the Bhagavad Gita to see where this parcel, how it's come down. It came down from Krishna to Brahma, you see, to Narada Muni, to Vyasadeva. This knowledge has come down. So, all right. So Narada Muni and his bona fide representative, the spiritual master then, gives us this transcendental knowledge. So then again the question is, well, how does it work? How does that knowledge free us from all lamentation? Well, it's quite simple. Even the Buddhists say that suffering is a cause of ignorance. All of our suffering is simply due to ignorance. And what is that ignorance? Bodily consciousness. We are thinking of this body. I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm young, I'm old, I'm middle-aged, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Romanian, I'm American. So many illusions, is it? All of our lamentation is simply due to false bodily consciousness. That's all. That one thing. Because we're identifying with a bag of blood and bones that is destined to get sick, old, and die. You can't help it being a lamentation if you identify with this gross bag called the material body. You can't help it being a state of lamentation. But when you actually understand by hearing from Narada Muni or his bona fide representative in the transcendental DHL, you see, when you actually hear from that person and you get actual transcendental knowledge and you hear submissively and you take it into your heart, and you actually apply that knowledge by practical activities, by bowing down to the Lord, becoming the devotee of the Lord, worshipping the Lord, remembering the Lord, manmanavava madbhakto majadji mangnamoskuru mammevashashi yukvaivam atmanang madparayanaham. Always think of me, worship me, become my devotee, offer your homage unto me. In this way, by being always absorbed in me, surely you will come out of all lamentation and come to my transcendental abode of pure bliss. You see? So if one hears this knowledge from the bona fide spiritual master and the bona fide devotee of the Lord, if one, in the bona fide scriptures, sadhu, shastra, and guru, for any of these three, if you take this knowledge and you apply it sincerely, with determination, with enthusiasm, with patience, you see, then you will get the result. All of your lamentation will just go away. Maybe not immediately, you see. But if you stick to this pathway, gradually, gradually, it'll go completely away. If you put a glass of water in a room, here we have an example. If you just leave it sitting here for a week, say, it'll be gone, it'll all evaporate. It'll be an empty glass in a week, just by evaporation. If you don't put water in it, you see. So if we simply take up this bhakti pathway, you see, then the evaporation of all lamentation begins to take place. It evaporates away. But if you keep pouring water in the cup, you keep engaging in sense gratification, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, you see. If you keep putting sense gratification into that cup, it'll never dry up, you see. That's why these four rules are a very important thing. Because you, if you not in, if you will chant Hare Krishna, then the, and you don't sin, then the evaporation process of all your lamentation will evaporate gradually, 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 and you'll come to the transcendental platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakangshati Samaksha Veshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Padam. One who is thus transcendently situated at once comes to the platform of Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He doesn't lament about anything. He doesn't hanker for anything. He's equally disposed towards all living entities. And in that state, Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita 18:54, he says, and in that state, he achieves pure devotional service unto me. You see, that's a very important thing. If you'll follow this pathway, first you'll come to Brahma-Bhuta. When you become enlivened with transcendental knowledge, you see. You see everything through the scripture. You're no longer, your emotions no longer carry you away with lamentation. You see? And then you go one step higher to pure devotional service. You see? So this process does work. Any of us, even the most fallen, degraded, stupid of us, we can achieve this perfection. Even if you're the most stupid, unqualified person that ever entered into ISKCON. You're the most stupid, you're the stupidest, most unqualified imbecile that ever set foot in a Hare Krishna temple. Even if you feel that you're in that position, which we should feel, each one of us should feel that way. That's called humility. You see. We should feel that way. I'm the most unqualified basket case that ever set foot in an ISKCON temple. Even if we feel that way, that's good we feel that way, but even if we actually are like them, this mercy of Lord Nityananda is so powerful. This mercy of Lord Chaitanya is so powerful. Narottam Das Thakur praised the Lord Chaitanya. He said, "My dear Lord, there is no soul more disqualified than me for Krishna consciousness. But you are known as Patita Pavana, the savior of those who are the most fallen condition. Therefore, I'm the first one in the line for your mercy. I'm the first in the queue. My claim for your mercy is first, you see, because I'm the most fallen devotee, you see. So there's no question of being unqualified. The more you feel you're unqualified for Krishna consciousness, my dear Prabhus and Manajis, the more you feel you're unqualified, that is your qualification. So don't tell me you're not qualified, you can't do it, you can't become a pure devotee. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. You can do it. You can do it. You will do it if you take these instructions coming from Narada Muni into your heart, just as Maharaj Yudhisthira did. Then you will do it. You'll become a pure devotee and you'll be able to meet Narada Muni face to face and Krishna face to face. That's a bit. That's a bit. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
May I please ask, how can we get rid of criticizing others?
Get rid of criticizing others?
Yes, how can we get rid of this?
The only way to be free of criticizing others is to glorify others. You say, well, I just won't deal with anyone else. It won't work. You have to glorify them. That's how you get free of criticizing. Backbiting, criticizing. Start glorifying the devotees. See what it does for your consciousness. See what it does for your day. You start glorifying the devotees, you see. Find something glorious about every single devotee that you know, you see. Every single devotee. Look for some wonderful, glorious quality in every single devotee, you see. And you, I guarantee you, what will happen is your glorious qualities. If you're meditating in the glorious qualities of others, your true glorious qualities you have within your heart, they will manifest. But if you're always thinking, yeah, this devotee's a rotten jerk, this devotee's proud, this devotee's lusty, this devotee's crazy, this devotee, then all of your dirt will just be, you'll just be polluted with dirt like a diamond covered by stool. You see. But if you're always thinking, well, this devotee has this nice quality, this devotee has that nice quality, and that's what you're always thinking about and glorifying the Vaishnavas, then your wonderful diamond-like pure bhakti will become jubilantly manifest. Try it. You'll like it. It works. Next question. Yes.
How should we talk to people so that we can attract them to Krishna, even if they are against religion? Because they
know. Well, just tell them we're also against religion. I explained the other day. You're against religion? Yeah, we are too. Religion is really screwed up. It really is. Yeah, we are also against religion. That, in fact, Krishna says, give up religion. And just surrender to me. You see. You have to be tactful. I mean, if somebody is completely like a barking dog, roof, roof, then you just avoid them, you know. You don't try to pet. You know, if a dog is going to bite you, you don't go up and try to pat on its head and pacify him. You know what I mean? If they're really vicious, you just stay away from them. But if they're, you know, if they're kind of, they're innocent people, but they've been a little bit carried away, they've heard some things, and you know, you have to judge. Someone is completely a demoniac, you should avoid them. But most people aren't completely, they're just influenced by demoniac philosophies, that's all. You have to very kindly, lovingly, cleverly, you know, defeat them and enlighten them. Prabhupada told us, you ask them what is your philosophy, and then defeat it. You don't go up and say, this is my philosophy, and then they'll defeat you, you see. What you do is you go up and say, you find out from them, what is your philosophy? Lord, how many days did Lord Chaitanya hear from Sarvabhauma before Lord Chaitanya even opened his mouth? For several days, he simply heard Sarvabhauma. Okay, let me hear this. You know, yes, yes, tell me more. You just hear. You have, like we said the other day, you have two ears and one mouth. Even when we're preaching, hear what they have to say. You see, if you're interested to hear what they have to say, then they have to reciprocate by being interested in what you have to say. If you just go up and you want to just lay your trip on them and say, whoa, you know? But if you're interested, what do they have to say? You're truly interested. What they have to say? What is your viewpoint? You hear from it. You take it into your heart. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. But. You see? So actually, it's very good to hear what they have to say and understand. Because actually, even a psychiatrist, you see, he has to hear from his patient. He has to understand what is going crazy in it? What's the craziness there? He has to be able to identify what sort of madness does my patient have so he can give him the proper guidance, you see. So you have to be able to hear them and understand them. But the principle being against religion, I'm also appalled by religion. You know, the name religion, they're torturing people, they're killing the cow, they're killing the babies, all in the name of religion, you see. We're also against such bogus religion, you see. We are teaching the science of how to reconnect the individual self with the Supreme Self. We're not teaching religion here, in the popular sense of the term. Now, in a high level understanding, yes, this is religion. To relink the individual self with the Supreme Self. But they don't know what that means. To them, religion is some kind of rituals and formulas. When we're not doing them. What they think of religion, that we are not doing. This is not religion in the way they think of the term. It's not religion. It's not some dogmatic rituals for getting satisfying your material desires. And that's how they take religion. It's not that. This is a reawakening of love in the heart. So that Supreme Person is the source of all existence. This is a science. It's equally applicable. We can teach a Christian how to do it, a Muslim. They don't have to give up being a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Sikh or a Jain or a Buddhist. they can continue to remain in that designation, and we will teach them in, through the science of bhakti, how to become a perfect Christian, a perfect Buddhist, a perfect Jew. And if they don't want to be religious, they don't want to be a philosopher, we'll teach them how to be a perfect philosopher. And that will bring them to true religion eventually. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
What does it mean to become serious in Krishna consciousness?
What does it mean to become serious about Krishna consciousness? It means no more playing around with Maya. No more flirting around with Maya. It's like some devotees may be very loose, you know, about following the regulated principles. That's not serious. It's like one time I noted that how brahmacharis and brahmacharinis were standing around and just chatting and just talking with each other. Like, you know. And I asked Prabhupada about this. He said, no, it shouldn't be like that. He didn't, Baba didn't want loose intermingling between the men and women, you see. Just like, you know, sitting around and chatting as buddies, you know. That's one example. To being serious about Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. That letter got posted in every temple in ISKCON. It was a very powerful letter. He told me, he said, talking between brahmachari and brahmacharini, almost nil. He said, actually, in India, actually, the principle is the brahmachari should never even see the face of a woman. That's what Prabhupada told me. Should never even see the face of a woman. He said, but in your country, it's a little difficult. So that's one example. That's one way to be more serious, is not be, you know, chatty. What service needs to be done? Yes. Coming together as brothers and sisters, you know, to discuss the philosophy? Yes. But just casually, you know, chatting with each other between men and women? No. That's against Vedic culture. That's an example of being serious. Why? Well, Cupid is there with his little quiver full of arrows and his bow, and he's, you know, he's looking for opportunities. Chung! Is it? And the fact is, in a society where there's unrestricted intermingling of men and women, you have pregnancy, you have abortion, you have unwanted children. So that's one principle of seriousness, is to not have free intermingling. Even a householder, he has full facility to associate with his wife, but he practices brahmacharya and turns to other women, he is also a brahmachari, you see. But only with his wife, he has intimate dealings. With other women, it is, you know, Madhiji, my mother. You see, very formal. So to be formal like that is one of the items of seriousness. Now, in the beginning, it may seem a little draconian. Oh my God! I mean, you go, wow, it's too much, you know. Because we're so accustomed, the Western world, to freely intermingling between boys and girls. We're very accustomed to doing that. It's our nature. It's our culture. You see? So, Prabhupada didn't, you know, send the women off to a different place. Prabhupada was against that. He's against any sort of fanatical in that regard. There was an attempt to... one time they said, okay, the women should not be allowed to chant in the temple room because it agitates the brahmacharis. Prabhupada said, if the brahmacharis are that agitated, they should go to the forest. He said, because how they can preach in the city? There's women everywhere. How they can walk down the street? So Prabhupada was against any... And when they tried to apply these principles in a fanatical way, Prabhupada was very disturbed with them. You see, he was very disturbed. And not that the women have to go somewhere else to chant their round, you see. So it's a balanced way. There should be that chastity. It should be like mother and son relationships between the men and the women. That's one item of seriousness. To not be freely intermingling with men as a girl, you see, and not be freely intermingling with men. And if you want to be married, that's a first class desire for a girl, you see. That's first class desire. Nothing wrong. Prabhupada encouraged them. He said, any girl who wants to be married, he said, if she will be a very chaste girl and she become a good cook, I will personally arrange for a marriage, Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada was pro-marriage. He also was pro-brahmachari. One time he said, I've asked all the women to get married, I've asked all the men to stay brahmachari. He said, this is the dilemma. But Krishna perfectly arranges everything, you see. Krishna is very kind. He takes care of every devotee, even though it seems impossible. If all the men are supposed to stay single and all the women are supposed to get married, how's it going to work? But Krishna makes all the arrangements very nicely, so everybody is happy and satisfied. So, simply be very serious to become a pure devotee and not to be frivolous, not to be into sense enjoyment. Be serious to follow the instructions of Prabhupada, you know, undeviatingly in all times, places, and circumstances. And if you do that, that seriousness will give you a very, very sweet, sublime ecstasy within your heart. Seriousness, in the modern world, we think serious, we equate seriousness with moroseness. Mm-hmm. But in spiritual culture, seriousness or sobriety means ecstasy. This was the one. This is the last point now. I know we're down to the last 5 seconds. And we have to go to... When I was a young hippie guy in Austin, I was going to hear Vishnu Dhanaswamy's programs, house-to-house programs. He hadn't had a temple yet, but he was doing Namahat. Every night in a different house, he would do a program. So I went to one program, and I just happened to be thirsty. I went to the kitchen to get a drink of water from the living room, you know, where the program was happening, into the kitchen. And Vishnu Dhanaswamy, he happened to go into the kitchen too. I don't know if he came for a glass of water or he came because he wanted to preach to me. I don't never know, because he's departed now, but I couldn't ask him. But he came in the kitchen. And that was in the hippie movement. Our thing was, you know, get intoxicated and stay intoxicated forever. That was our philosophy, you see. But he came into the kitchen and he told me these words. I never forget the exact words he said. He said, you have to become sober. That's all he said. He just goes, you have to become... He said those 5 words and that was all he said. You have to become sober. And that was all he said. I went, wow. This is really far out. And this is really amazing. Because here we were trying to, you know, get intoxicated. We were doing all kinds of, taking all kinds of things, popping this, smoking that, you know, all kinds of stuff. Try to so-called get high, you know. And he said, you have to become sober. So that sobriety actually is the key. Be very, very sober and serious about becoming a pure devotee, following the principles of sadhana bhakti without deviation in all times, places, and circumstances. And if you do that, it's like being in a storm on an airplane and then the pilot takes it to a higher level and it's a beautiful, brilliant day above the storm, you see. If you're very sober and very serious, you will elevate your consciousness to the Brahma-Bhuta stage, you see, where it's so beautiful and it's so wonderful and so ecstatic. So be serious. Take it very seriously. As there was a famous lecture from Tamal Krishna Goswami, it's time to get serious. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Bhagavad Ki Jai.
Shri Shankar Shankar Ki Jai.